Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion. We're so glad you could join us today with the subject of Christ Jesus. We love to tell the story. We're recording today from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, in the United States of America. And we welcome you all. And we will begin with our morning prayer.
I'm reading from Miscellany 220 and Miscellaneous Writings 307. Each day I pray for the pacification of all national difficulties, for the brotherhood of man, for the end of idolatry and infidelity, and for the growth and establishment of Christian religion, Christ's Christianity. I also have faith that my prayer availeth, and that he who is overturned will overturn until he whose right it is shall reign. Each day I pray, God bless my enemies, make them thy friends, give them to know the joy and the peace of love. Oh, what a glorious inheritance is given to us through the understanding of omnipresent love. More we cannot ask, more we do not want, more we cannot have. The sweet assurance is the peace be still to all human fears, to suffering of every sort. Mary Baker Eddy.
Thank you. And I think while we're on that, I'm going to have Chardell share what she sent in today.
But I have it right here. This is what I put in our search machine at our website. And I put in, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Luke. And then this is what came right up, the first one, The Healing of the Nations by William D. McCracken. Divine love alone is sufficient for the healing of the nations. Deep enough, constant, and courageous enough to speak with authority and command peace. But divine love also fulfills the law and forgives sin by destroying it. Divine love separates personal sins from person and saves men and nations, but does not destroy them. Nations have individual characteristics imposed upon them by tradition, experience, and unresisted mental suggestion. Therefore, they need to be awakened to realize their real selfhood as truly as individual human beings need this awakening. To Christian Science, every nation becomes a patient to be healed, whose diseases must be unseen, whose sins must be forgiven, and whose harmony must be established in truth. Nations need to be freed from misconception, condemnation, delusion, sense intoxication, stagnation, and unjust tyrannies inherited from the past. The prayer that saves the sick and the sinning human being by the destruction of error is also applicable to a nation or people momentarily hypnotized. The enlightenment which comes through Christian Science is a trust to be exercised and a belief of all. No legitimate human interest is too remote for the healing power of Christian Science. Mrs. Eddy writes, the impersonal nation of the spiritual idea had a belief history in the a brief history in the earthly life of our Master. But of this kingdom there shall be no end, for Christ, God's idea, will eventually rule all nations and people, imperatively, absolutely, and finally, with divine science.
Thank you. It's a wonderful article, The Healing of the Nations. And as we see, you know, right now, all this overturning that is going on in our world, it's good that we work with these thoughts. It's a William McCracken article. And very important that we stay in our positions now. We should be, this overturning can bring in the millennium if we do our work and do it properly and not just throw our hands up in despair and say everything is a mess. No. But God said, I will overturn. And false systems are being overturned. And we've got to usher in the reign of Christ and keep our focus on that and not on what would otherwise perhaps seem disastrous at times. We focus on God good. So thank you, Florence, and thank you, Shardy.
And thank you, God.
And thank you, God, yes. Yes. Going to bring in the reign of Christ for 1,000 years. That's what, how they describe the millennium. Okay, now Karen.
Watch number 157. Watch lest as you replenish the fire of spiritual confidence and expectancy, which gives your declarations of truth their efficacy and power, you believe the arguments heal. They do open the way for truth to heal. And in that sense, they are like the wood that keeps the fire burning. But it is the fire that throws forth the heat, and not the wood that one gathers to feed it. Once Mrs. Eddy wrote to a member of the board of directors, persevere. And if the fire burns low or appears to be getting extinguished, replenish it with faith and love. Never lose its light on the altar of Christian Science. And never cease to watch, work, pray.
Thank you. And here we are, making sure that our light is burning. And I love, you know, the spiritual confidence, expectancy, the words that are used, perseverance, faith and love, watch, work, and pray. And the definition of faith, the assent of the mind of what God has revealed, simple belief of the scriptures and of the existence and doctrines of Christ Jesus, practical, affectionate confidence in the testimony of God. Now, anyone want to comment on that watching point?
Well, in the lesson this week, Mrs. Eddy says in Science Hotel, she says, Jesus' prayers were humble, prayers were deep, and conscientious protests of truth, of man's likeness to God, and of man's unity with truth and love.
Yes. Yeah, I love that description of how Jesus prayed. Protest.
Yeah.
Declaring for, not pleading with, but stating the truth. And standing with that truth. It's a big difference.
Yeah, if we think we have a problem we're praying about, that's what I've been learning here is if I am focusing on something to get rid of or change, that is not praying in Christian Science. And
yes, yeah. That's why the chapter on prayer is invaluable.
Deep and conscientious protests of truth. Jesus' prayers.
And when he came down from the mountain after praying, there was no doubt in his mind as to what was true. And that is when he did some of the, you know, the most healing work of his ministry was after he came down from having prayed for however long he prayed, sometimes days at a time.
I also feel that all the reading, all the teaching, all the audio, everything that we are, is available to us should be that firewood that increases our faith and our love and our confidence and expectancy.
Thank you. Yeah, because honestly, if it's not doing that, what is it doing? It should be doing something to it, not just a pleasant listening experience or reading experience, but getting that fire going. Recently, I've been turned to fidelity in miscellaneous writings, and that goes right along with this watching point. And I'm going to read a few sections of it, but this was a article that we were often given here to work with, because when you're in this so-called battle for not just a few months, not even just a few years, but long periods of time, you need to keep your fire burning. In the preface, and I know I've given this to you before, but where Mrs. Eddy says, to preserve a long course of years, still and uniform, amid the uniform darkness of storm and cloud and tempest, requires strength from above, deep draughts from the fount of divine love. And think of our leader and how she definitely was doing this. So from fidelity, is a musician made by his teacher? He makes himself a magician by practicing what he was taught. The conscientious are successful. They follow faithfully through evil or good report. They work on to the achievement of good. By patience, they inherit the promise. Be active, and however slow, thy success is sure. Toil is triumph, and thou hast been faithful over a few things. The lives of great men and women are miracles of patience and perseverance. Every luminary in the constellation of human greatness, like the stars, comes out in the darkness to shine with the reflected light of God. And it goes on. It's just such a beautiful article, but a good part of it is the story of the virgins, right? The 10 virgins. And what happened?
They weren't ready. They didn't have their oil.
Yep. The foolish virgins had no oil in their lamps. Their way was material. Thus they were in doubt and darkness. They heeded not their sloth, their fading warmth of action. Hence the steady decline of spiritual light until the midnight gloom came upon them. And then they went to the other, the ones who kept their oil and their lights burning. But you should know within yourself when you begin to get...
No.
The fires go low.
Yeah, when the fire's going low, you should feel it. And that's when you go for it. We say we beat yourself. Well, in some ways you do. You wake yourself up out of that slumber. You don't want to go. You don't want to backslide with these, whatever it is that's taking you away, the negative suggestions or whatever. Seek truth and pursue it. It should cost you something. You are willing to pay for error and receive nothing in return. But if you pay the price of truth, ye shall receive all. So it's a wonderful article, and I refer to it often because it keeps us on the right path, and we follow in Mrs. Eddy's footsteps in her dedication to this mission and this cause. So, anybody else?
And just one more thought on the watching point. I remember many, many years ago, as a member of a branch church, before Plainfield became independent, maybe even before I came to Plainfield, thinking that, To heal someone, you had to come up with the right words. Somehow you had to tell them the right thing to heal something. And it was very frustrating because I often wouldn't know how to do that. Thinking that it was the argument or the words that did the healing. And it took me, I would say, quite a while. And it took teaching by Mrs. Evans to come to the realization that, you know, my words can't heal a fly. My words don't do anything. But my consciousness, if it is godlike, brings the power of God to bear on my experience and on the experience of those around me. And that it is the power of God that does everything. So this was a major learning thing for me. And I'm so grateful that I found Plainfield and Mrs. Evans, and that we were able to, we were forced to become independent and therefore really learn the science correctly. But there is this misconception that I as a person can actually heal, or that an argument or that the right words can actually heal.
Yeah, because we're not casting a magic spell. And I know once in a while you might hear somebody say the words that Mrs. Eddy had said, but they sound so empty. I mean, mm-hmm. They just know that's what they're doing. So.
Right. That's why we're careful about our readers. And Mrs. Evans would say when she was reading in church that her reading was only as good as the week before. How have you lived it the week before? And that's true of anything you do. It's who you are, what you are. And if you haven't been living it all week, and then even if you're a wonderful speaker and you get up there, the words will not reach people the way they will as when you have been living it. Sometimes through blood, sweat, and tears, that's usually the best. But yes, there has to be the unction behind the words. Now, I came upon this in Collectania this week on page 162, where Mrs. Eddy says, "Take this thought and carry it with you. God is spirit. I am his child, made in his image and likeness. Jesus' teaching will restore to me that which I seem to have lost, the likeness of my Father." I think that's just so beautiful. That's so true. That's what Jesus's teaching does for us. That's why we love to tell the story. And that's why we have this lesson twice every year. I know I've given this so often, but I love it so much, where when Mrs. Eddy was picking out her home, Pleasant View, and this is in the Bliss Nap book, "She longed for a home by the seaside, but instead God prepared it on a hillside," because that's when she saw Pleasant View. It was like a big light shone over it. And then it said, "My house stands upon a very sightly hill, and the sides remind me of the Galilean slopes where my brother walked and wept and prayed." Now, that touches me so, because it shows her close connection to Christ Jesus. He was her brother. And she could identify with the walking, the weeping, and the praying. They were so close. And I have to ask myself, is that how I feel about Christ Jesus? And if not, I better. And about her, too. We should feel that. Because we are walking in their footsteps. And if we truly are, we will feel that connection. I just love that. Thank God Ira Knapp wrote that down. These wonderful things we're given. And now, before I go any farther, and before I don't want to forget this, the newsletter, we're at the end of, no one more has offered to do a welcome to my neighborhood. Yeah. So please, if you live in some area in the world and you'd like to take a few pictures and send it to Carol with some description, that would be so helpful. And we love to see where you live and what you're doing. And it makes for an interesting few pages in our newsletter. So please, because many people have volunteered, but no one has recently, and we don't have anyone. Is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah.
Especially for those of us that stick pretty close to home. So we like seeing those.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have members from all over the world. So, you know, you guys have a lot of beauty, good history, whatever around you, where you live. And we'd love for you to share it with us.
Yeah. And, you know, most everybody has an iPhone now with a camera. It's not that hard. Take some pictures and send it. I mean, we'd love to see your corner of the world. And it is the world now. It's not just the United States by any means. So please do. We would so love it. And then we could have a backlog that we can count on. All right, Carol, I want you to read the golden text and the responsive reading.
From Revelation. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Something else that I just love, that from Revelation. And most of you know the Hallelujah chorus when they're just singing that out. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh my, it puts him in his place of mighty power and reverence, and it just uplifts. And in an article that Carrie sent, we are the sons of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are the sons of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For centuries, this proclamation has fallen upon unhearing ears. And in consequence, man has worked in chains and the brand of the slave upon him, the mark of the master whom he served. We are the children of the Most High. One bowed under the yoke of bondage, but rebellious, hears something within him say, a better lot surely is mine. And a still small voice whispers, we are the children of the Most High. He hears it as if spoken in trumpet tones. He rises, casts off his chains, and steps forth, no longer a bond slave, but a free man, son of the Most High, freeborn. He is not here. He is risen. It goes on, but you must remember always You are the son of the king, the daughter of the king, and all that implies, because it implies a lot, and it also implies responsibility to live up to it, but it's certainly worth it. So keep that in your heart. King of King and Lord of Lords. And when I was talking to Florence this week, you know, she was saying, because in that quote I gave you from Collectania earlier about the story of Christ Jesus restores to us that which we seem to have lost, to be his image and likeness. She was saying, you know, that here for so many, how long have we believed the earth is flat? But it isn't. And that's true about that we're the image and likeness of God, that we're spiritual image and likeness of God. The physical senses say, oh, no, 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 but we are. And to get into that, to get into that feeling and know that we are and get past this belief of the physical senses, whether it's telling us the world is flat or that we are made up of brain, blood, bones, and other material elements. Mm-hmm. You want to say anything, Florence?
Mrs. Eddy tells us that if we don't know that we are the children of God, which is the image and likeness of God, what are we demonstrating? So we have to have this uppermost in thought. It's just a beautiful concept to really accept and be grateful for.
Thank you.
And we don't. And you don't have to take her word for it. You can prove it to yourself. That's the beauty. Mm-hmm. It is science. And if you stick with the truth, put the truth to a test. Truth is always the victor. It proves itself. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and this gratitude opens doors in humility.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You have to be humble enough to accept that. I mean, if you think, you know, I think I read somewhere, if you don't accept that, you're really saying there are two worlds. God has created this material things that we should believe in, as well as this holy presence and power with him. So it's not two, it's one. So we have to be humble enough to accept that. Otherwise, you know, we're not doing it really. We are the children of God, and what that really means must be uppermost in our thinking.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mrs. Eddy once also told someone, the belief that you have a personality can be even worse than the belief that you're sick.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Of mine own self, I can do nothing. Good thing to remember.
Yeah, and that, you know, it's in the lesson in John, for without me you can do nothing. Just remember, keep your humility, yeah, and your gratitude.
And when he says me, what's he referring to?
God or the Christ?
He's referring
to the Christ. Christ.
Yes, he's not referring to a human Jesus. Mm-hmm. He's referring to the Christ that animates the human Jesus, that is the source and power of everything that Jesus ever said and did.
And in this description of the Christ in Revelation, he's not some wimpy thing, is he? Mm-mm. Holy Moses, that's what I love about it. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, should smite the nations. He wasn't going to take any guff from anybody or anything. So it's quite a picture of authority through the Christ. And in the lesson, you know, he rebuked sinners because he was their friend. And this is an important aspect in expressing the Christ. So I love it, because that was what was always missing before I came here and met Mrs. Evans. It was, everything was always very pleasant, and she wasn't. And it was shocking at first, but it's that it has to be. And I guess some of you have seen maybe the trailer for the next season 5 of The Chosen, and that's got Jesus whipping the money changers out of the temple. And in one of the articles that Carrie sent, it talks about you've got to whip out those money changers in your own thought, the temple, your temple, in order for you to have peace and harmony and health. You can't let them just run amok and do whatever. You've got to have that strength and the love of God, not to be duplicitous and, you know, have two, you can't have two masters. Either it'll be one, God Almighty, or it will appear to be Era, which is pulling you around by the nose. So that, that strength that he exhibited is so important and part of it.
And it also said that this was a picture of heaven. I saw heaven opened, and we didn't see a lot of angels flying around playing harps. We saw a strong authority of God. We had absolute confidence in the allness of God and his rule. That's heaven.
Yes. Yeah. So, and now I'm going to get into a little bit of the, first, in this lesson, there is a theme, one theme, of all things are possible to God. And in the things to handle daily that we get, one of them is work every day to know that the belief of impossibility has no power over you. Know that it cannot possibly affect you in any way and can never for an instant hinder your demonstration. Whether you are working for health, peace, joy, or any mental quality, thing, or experience, know that you are conscious of the possibility and realization of all that is good and true. Now, if you start out and you think that, you know, well, this is impossible, God could never heal this, and who you do, you know darn well, I know I've done it, then where are you and what good are you and what good are your prayers? This has to be part of your being, that all things are possible to God. And it starts, the lesson starts out in the Bible with the birth of Jesus, which would seem like an impossibility. But the angel Gabriel told Mary all things were possible, and they were. And in the first citation in Science and Health, when man is governed by God, the ever-present mind who understands all things, man knows that with God all things are possible. And the only way to this living truth which heals the sick is found in the science of divine mind as taught and demonstrated by Christ Jesus. And I always remember, because Mrs. Evans used to say her mother, that was her mother's favorite sentence in Science and Health, about when man understands is governed by God. And if you are governed by God, if you are in that right consciousness, that right mind, you will have a feeling, well, this is but a slight thing for the Lord, right? A light thing for the Lord. All things, you've seen so many things healed by him, which is actually just having come forward and it's right. So get that into your being. And then with that is the Henty book. Talked about it before. Doris Henty, and it is a wonderful book. And I'm going to start with how it came about, because again, this is in the lesson. Her whole family, when she was a child, everybody was sick. The mother was sick all the time. The father was sick. The brother was sick. The sister who wrote the foreword, I guess she was too. And Doris particularly had a terrible disfiguration of the face and paralysis. It was really quite awful. She face was always covered with bandages. So, but then one day a friend came to see my father at the mill, which he ran to the question, "How are you?" My father replied as usual, "Just fair." On hearing this, the friend asked if he could tell my father about his faith, which had changed his life. My father agreed with some reluctance, as he held office in the Wesleyan Church, and he learned that his friend's faith was Christian Science. The friend lent my father a copy of Mrs. Eddy's book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, setting a time limit of 2 weeks for its return. However, when my father got home with it, Mother said, "We don't want any of those newfangled ideas." And the book was put on the piano, where it remained unopened until it was returned a fortnight later, and I can still see it there to this day. A little later, my father visited Manchester, and feeling he had perhaps been a little discourteous about the book, he went to a Christian Science reading room and purchased a copy of Science and Health. One day, shortly after that, Mother was feeling particularly bad and weak. She had been reading the Bible and then turned to Science and Health, and her eyes fell on the words, page 135, "There is danger today of repeating the offense of the Jews by limiting the Holy One of Israel and asking, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? What cannot God do?" She jumped up, went into the kitchen, and started to give orders. My father returned home from lunch and saw Mother was up and asked what had happened. My mother said, using a Yorkshire expression, "I've been reading the book and I feel made over again." But Father cautioned her, but that there was no stopping him now. So the mother was healed, the brother was healed, Doris Henty was healed. They said, the doctor said, because all those problems, a specialist in Manchester looked at her and said, "The age of miracles is not over. The nerves have joined." Her whole disfiguration, her whole face was healed. And then I think her practitioner had been James Neal, who Mrs. Eddy said was such a wonderful practitioner. And when she said, "Well, I want to go in the practice now because, you know, I have to." But she still had, I guess, something with her mouth that needed healing. And he said, "Well, you're going to have that taken care of first." So he said, "Oh, okay, you heal me." And he did overnight. And then she went into the 60 years.
Wow.
And this book is full of her association addresses. Mm-hmm. And they're wonderful. They're absolutely wonderful. I do have to say this, though. I haven't read it recently from cover to cover, but as far as I know, there's no handling of animal magnetism. I have found this in wonderful things that are happening too, which
Ricky,
yeah, which is why I have this a little bit of an aversion to it. It doesn't mean the book is good. It has wonderful ideas. It's all pouring forth the truth. But it was so instilled in me that you've got to handle animal magnetism. And yes, everyone likes to take the joyful side of things, but nobody likes to get down and dirty and handle the animal magnetism. So I say that because it is instilled in me that this must be done. It is all through Science and Health. It is all through Prose Works, all through Mrs. Eddy's works. She is handling animal magnetism. And remember that she couldn't, what was it? She couldn't
publish it until it was done. Animal magnetism was completed in there.
Thank you. She could not publish the book till she had that chapter on animal magnetism.
And it was such a right idea that when she was bringing the pages to the printer, he met like on the train platform.
Yeah.
He just handed them over to him. So,
well, yeah. Yes. Yes. And believe me, we never would have won the law case if we had not learned how to handle animal magnetism. And what is that? It's a belief that there's a power other than God. Mm-hmm. And Mrs. Eddy has said, you know, she wished there were students who were willing to do this because she's had to do it for 40 years and now her students are going to have to take it on. And sometimes I find, especially in the newer writings, it's not being taken up. So I say that just like King of King and Lord of Lords, Jesus had to rebuke the error. It must be done, and it cannot be left undone until we're angels in heaven.
She says the first page of Watchers, Prayers, and Arguments. That's how important it is.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And in her history of the establishing and carrying on the movement and writing the textbook Science and Health, the third edition came out at a time when she had to address this fiercely. It had to be done. Remember, the first edition was the revelation. The second edition had all kinds of problems and never really happened. But everything was made right with the third edition, which included a chapter entitled Demonology, where she went into detail to describe how animal magnetism works. It had to have been revealed and seen for what it was. It was an absolute necessity. And from that point forward, things went forward.
So, that being said, it's very important you understand this. If you really want to be a successful worker, you've got to understand this. And yeah, we all prefer to talk about God as love and all the wonderful healings and all the great things. But this other side must be taken up. And, you know, today, many errors are being uncovered all over the place. And it has to be. Mrs. Eddy says, what, error revealed or?
Error uncovered is 2/3.
Thank you. Yes, uncovered. Error uncovered is 2/3 destroyed. And the final third destroys itself. She says that twice. Mm-hmm. So.
And we know from experience that error continues only if it's protected by secrecy and silence.
Yes.
That's the only way it can continue. And obviously, the silence is going to be broken in some way or another. The secrecy is going to be shattered and opened up. It absolutely will happen in some point in time or another. So why not let it happen? Let it happen.
And sooner than later.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to burst forth. And if you can catch it earlier, it's better than when it seems to be the big red dragon and all this stuff comes pouring out. It's not the truth, and we can know that and destroy it in that knowing. But it's got to come out. And that's why it's interesting sometimes with people when they call, you know, they'll tell you they just have some little problem. And then a few weeks later, you find out all this stuff has been going on. And that has to come. It has to come out. You can't hide it. You think you can hide it. You can't.
Or ignore it.
And eventually it'll be just such a mess. There is no hiding it. So anyway, but in this book, and Karen brought it out to me, Doris Henty has a whole chapter on the Lord's Prayer, a long chapter. And that goes with this from Things to Handle Daily, from Watchers, Prayers, and Arguments. Whoops. Study the Bible constantly, daily, dear one. Ask the divine love every day to give all that the Lord's Prayer inculcates. Go alone by yourself 1/2 hour every morning and ask God good. Thy kingdom come. Ask to establish the reign of honesty, peace, and purity in your consciousness, and to overthrow and cast out all that is unlike the Christ love. Ask to forgive those that wrong you, even as God forgives you, and see how this must be for you to reflect God. Ask for deliverance from temptation. Ask for patience, meekness, peace, and so may the grace of God be with you. Now, you know, I mentioned this a while ago because, boy, I thought every day to think about the Lord's Prayer every day. Wow, that's a lot. But here, Doris Henty had no problem at all. She would write several pages on just one line. And she says about the Lord's Prayer, the Lord's Prayer is a statement of the perfection of being. It reveals the spiritual nature of God and man, the tender relationship of God and man. It teaches us of the almighty power of God and the utter impotence of evil. It assures us of man's immunity from sin, disease, and death. It enables us to rest in the omnipresence of all good, of love itself, and convinces us that the kingdom of God is our only realm. And Mrs. Eddy, you know, she quotes Mrs. Eddy, and that was one thing Karen says about Doris Henty, and it is so true. She quotes Mrs. Eddy over and over and over, and that really gives substance to what she writes. And Mrs. Eddy says that this is the prayer that covers all human needs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that first sentence, "Our Father which art in heaven," she goes on for pages about it. It handles the belief of heredity. You inherit the Christ nature of peace, joy, health, and harmony. You're exempt from all discord. And then she goes in, you know, to the two, the fatherhood and the motherhood, and how important they both are. And, you know, I have read, and I'm sure you have too, where Mrs. Eddy, she almost always referred to God as mother.
Yeah.
She had a very close and loving relationship with her mother. And I think she loved to think of her that way. And maybe we all have different ways we like to think about God. But something that is strong and healing, and you know how to think about him. Make sure that's what he is to you. So
yeah, but if one, the mother or father, is hard for you, because I know mother was for me because of my human mother, but now, you know, it's quite comforting to think of mother love.
Mm-hmm.
So
thank you.
And Mrs. Eddy, of course, at the time, had to overcome the prejudice against women unable to vote, unable to own property, unable to do a lot of things, since she was a very strong proponent of women's rights. And a lot changed.
Yeah, she broke through all that opposition, resistance, you know, without, just because she was who she was. It wasn't like she was out to march for women's rights. She just was herself, and that did it.
She had to discover and found Christian Science and do all this other stuff.
And do all this other stuff. And she had it right to the end. The men who in her home at Chestnut Hill who were opposing her, wanting to put her in an
insane asylum because she moved the estoppel clauses from the manual.
She had a lot to meet. Yeah.
Credit science and health. Sorry.
Well, anyway, this chapter, I said, good grief. Maybe I don't know the Lord's Prayer too well. I don't know how many pages it is, but it is a lot. And it's good. So, Karen, what you were the one who mentioned it.
I've used it. I work with it a lot because there are so many wonderful, inspiring thoughts and quotes from Mrs. Eddy in the Bible. It just gives me a lot of food, you know, when I'm thinking about the Lord's Prayer, because she does go into it in such detail. It's just beautiful. So I just wanted to point it out. I think I sent it to you a number of weeks ago. Mary, just the one little section under God's will, thy will be done.
Okay.
I printed it out, just this little, and I don't know, I just thought it was so wonderful to think about God's will and how she puts it. And I don't know whether you wanted me to read it or anything, but it's just beautiful what she brings out. And again, most of what she writes comes, it's quoted, you know, there's just quote. So anyway, I just have found this chapter so inspiring. And so I wanted to share with anybody, like I said in the email, anybody who's read Henty's book is very well aware of this, but if you're not, it might be something that you might be interested in getting the book just for this chapter. It's so wonderful.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of good in this book, and we will have it at church, and I'm glad someone reminded me of it, that I got it back out and dusted it off, and have got back into it again, and I do have it very much marked up. So, all of everyone, I think it's a good book to recommend, most definitely. So, Dale, I'd like you to read. Dale sent me something this week that was how she works in the morning.
Did you want me to read the whole thing?
Go ahead. I'll cut you off if I don't want you to.
Okay. This is what I was thinking of Wednesday before the testimony meeting. I'm very grateful for the instruction in this independent church to acknowledge God as all in all and to know our oneness with Him. In the February 25, 2025 Unity Watch from Leaves of Healing by Peter V. Ross, it began by stating, quote, I am of that life which never began, will never fail, will never end. I am internet with principle. I share its power, its wisdom, its achievement. I and principle are one. Nothing is impossible to a man of principle. End quote. And Mary Baker Eddy says in A Treatment for Every Day to, quote, realize this truth of truth, that you are now, not will be perfect in God, without a single doubt. However difficult it may seem to declare times without number that you are perfect, joyful, triumphant, and complete. End quote. Every morning I say I am perfect because I am a reflection of God. I am joyful, knowing God is all. There's nothing to fear or to be down about. I am triumphant because God has all power and is all presence, and I am one with Him. And I am complete because God's creation is done and declared very good. That's Genesis 1:31.
Okay, that's good. I just wanted to share with you some of the things, you know, that Dale talks and thinks about and how she uses things she's gotten during the week, whether it's watch messages or other things to amplify on. And it's a wonderful way to start your morning. And so important. And of course, we know our other, you know, our daily duties are certainly our lesson and all those things. And also, I would like to mention, I told you a Max Dunaway poem. This one is called Don't Forget Your Song. Don't forget your song. Many tasks you have, I know. Much to do, places to go. All of this, I grant, is so. But don't forget your song. Don't forget your song in the hurry of the day, in the press along the way, in your work and in your play. Don't forget your song. Don't forget your song. Song will give you greater zest. Song will keep you happy, blessed. Song will bring you sweeter rest. Don't forget your song. And now we're going to end with Doris Henty, what she writes about age.
She writes, let us now enjoy the spiritual freedom which our life includes. Take, for instance, the belief of age with its self-imposed characteristics of inability, resignation, limitation. Such an attitude is permanently at variance with the unbroken continuity of scientific being. The metaphysician will never bow his head to the bondage inflicted by the mythical beliefs attributed to accumulated years. Age is merely a state of suppositional acceptance of a life unlike God. Such a misconception, needless to say, in no way refers to us. Age is a preposterous belief, which never had the slightest place in the timeless life of God and man. We are divine mind's evidence of perpetual loveliness, freshness, continuity, all evident as the fullness of vigor, energy, strength, and vivacity. I quote Miscellaneous Writings, page 101. The scientific sense of being which establishes harmony enters into no compromise with finiteness and feebleness, end quote. Our leader speaks also of the charms of being shining resplendent and eternal, Science and Health, page 247. And of course, these charms of being are what you are. Job said, chapter 11, verse 17, all thine age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt shine forth. Thou shalt be as the morning. End quote. We acknowledge no measurement of the mythological 70 years and 10. Our glorious life is the glory to which Jesus referred when he said, quote, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was, end quote. John 17. What complete renunciation of the mortal sense of life and acknowledgement of his true being. Glorify thou me with thine own self, not a self like thine, but thine own self, the one self. Man is the very selfhood of God, the changeless glory of immortality, untouched by time. This glory appears as your continuous, limitless capacities. This selfhood is wisdom, beauty, and holiness, untinged by time. The ignorant assessment of man as mortal is lost in the brightness of divine life's permanent evidence of its bliss and its grandeur. Age is not a condition, but a totally false sense of existence, which is neither God nor man, but merely an audacious fabrication of mortal beliefs. Our life remains its very divine quality and condition in flawless evidence. Strength, vigor, energy, sagacity, our divine mind, always in full evidence. In brief, age is outshone by the brightness of his glory. You are free.
Thank you all for joining today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.